Our New Testament lesson is the Gospel of Luke. It's chapter 4. It's the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness, something I suspect many of you are familiar with, but if you're not, I hope and pray that it will become part of your understanding of who Jesus is as the Savior of the world. This is from Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. 1 through 13, listen now for God's living word for us this day. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to Jesus, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took Jesus to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." And so when the devil had finished every test, he departed from Jesus until an opportune time. These words from Psalm 91 and from Luke 4, which actually Jesus and the devil are quoting Luke 4, Psalm 91 here in this text. So from Psalm 91 and from Luke 4, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, our God, bless us this day as we consider what it means to get lost, to be in the wilderness, to be disappointed, to feel as though we've been forgotten or left behind. Help us this day, O Lord, to learn from the example of Christ, who never abandoned you, even though he was powerfully alone in his temptation in the wilderness. Bless this world with your love, O Lord, and help us to become the church, the men and women, the disciples that you would have us be here in this Lenten season. For it is in the name of Christ the Lord we pray. Amen. So today is our first Sunday in Lent for this year. Lent, which begins on Ash Wednesday and then concludes with Palm Sunday, is a time of the year, the church year, the spiritual year, if you will, when we can be honest about our mortality, that these lives on this earth do end, to be honest about the need to repent from the sins that vex us, and to be honest about our reliance upon God for both forgiveness of sins and the promise of life beyond death. And let's be honest, nobody really likes to talk about sin or death. We really don't. We'd rather avoid it. It's like a root canal or a hernia surgery, right? You don't elect to go do that. If you need it, you need it, and you're thankful for it. But nobody gets up on a Tuesday and says, "I think I'll go pay for a root canal today. Why not? It'll be great." No, Lent is a little bit like that. It's not anyone's favorite time in the church year, and yet it is the time that we need. Each year it comes around because we need to admit our total reliance upon God, because we all get lost in sin or shame or disappointment. We all get lost in the fear of death. God is always beyond that, always searching for us, always hoping to find us and bring us home. The theme at White Memorial for Lent this year is Lent for the Lost, Longing to be Found. And it's a chance for us to collectively admit that sometimes we do get lost. And when we do, the thing that we must do is return to God and be found by God's grace once again. And we admit, too, that it can be pretty easy to get lost. Back when I was in high school some 40 years ago, the driving age in Louisiana was 15. 15, right? And we had a girl in our class, a small high school, everybody knew everybody, everybody knew everybody's business, who got her license our sophomore year. And we knew it was the first day she was driving herself to school alone. Only it was lunchtime and she wasn't there. Everyone was really, really worried. They called the police. Of course we did. What had happened was I-12 and I-10 split in Baton Rouge, kind of on this curve. And if she would have stayed on Interstate 12 in about three exits, she would have gotten off where our school was. But instead, she went on Interstate 10 and never realized it, which takes you pretty quickly on that side of Baton Rouge into the swamp and on the way to New Orleans. And she was found several hours later with her head in her hands, weeping, pulled over on the side of the road in the middle of the swamp by the police and returned home. She was perfectly fine. I mean, kids online, kids in here, there's no such thing as GPS then. We didn't have any cell phones. So no one knew where she was. But there she was, guys, completely fine and totally lost, longing to be found, desperate to be found. And we don't like that. None of us wants to be lost like that in a literal or figurative sense. Our hearts long to be home with God, and that means allowing ourselves to be found by God. The text today is Jesus in the wilderness. His 40 days in the wilderness sets the model of the 40 days of Lent. And in every sense of the word, while Jesus is out there, he is lost to the rest of the world. His disciples, we don't even know if his disciples know where he went. Luke doesn't tell us that. He's completely alone, being challenged by the accuser, by the devil here, resisting his temptations and trying to find his way back to God, the creator of all that we know. We could talk all day about the three temptations. They are unbelievably tempting. I mean, think about it. Think about it. Being able to turn anything that you see into food, just alter creation, Jesus. Having all the power of all the kingdoms in the world, who could turn that down? And lastly, making the angels serve you, wait upon you at all times and in all places. Yeah, we could talk about those all day long, but we preached that sermon before. We could talk about the sparring between Jesus and the devil. If you're ever on Jeopardy and they say, does the devil know the Bible? Your answer is yes. You know, what is the Bible? What's the devil's favorite book to quote? What is the Bible? That's the answer. So yes, it's right here in Luke chapter 4. The point today, though, isn't all that. The point today is that Jesus survives the temptations in order to be found by God again and start his mission to proclaim God's kingdom to all who will listen. And so, yes, we encounter in this text a Jesus who was able to resist the temptation to sin like no other person could have done. Right? Instead of seizing the power, he chose to self-limit himself and focus upon his mission out there in the wilderness of temptation. And he goes through the crucible with the devil and he comes out the other side changed, but not broken. The second way is to think of the wilderness itself like a motif, a metaphor, to think of the wilderness as a place of testing where our faith is stretched and we have to learn how to rely upon God. And when we think about the wilderness in this way, we must admit that we get lost in the wilderness all the time. In the real wilderness, if you don't have a compass, if you don't have a trail, if you don't have those little blue tags on the trees telling you where you're supposed to walk to next, it can be really easy to get lost in the woods, particularly if it's a cloudy day. Honestly, it's not that difficult at all, right? Just like it's not that difficult to lose ourselves to sin. I mean, who here isn't vexated by greed, envy? You know, some guy pulls up next to you at a stoplight in a car and you think, I really wish I had that car. You know, it's just a car, right? And yet there's something about us where we seem to want what the other folks have. What's interesting about the Bible is it's always warning us about the wilderness, but like Jesus in the wilderness or the Israelites in the wilderness, it is also a place of testing and of growth. It is the paradox of paradoxes of human life. None of us are who we are without surviving the lost times in our lives, without walking through a wilderness or two. So yes, it's a place of spiritual restoration. It can be a place for revival, but it's a place too where the obvious reality of our sin sometimes confronts us face to face. That's why Lent is about repentance. And we remember the great Reinhold Niebuhr, the Christian thinker who once said, repentance is the first key in the door to the kingdom of God. Of course, sometimes the wilderness is just too wild. Remember, the root of the word wilderness is the word wild. That means it's untamed, it's unruly, there's no clear paths, no exits, no lights on the bottom of the airplane showing you where to go when things go wrong. It's wild and unruly. That's why human beings try to control the wilderness. That's why we build things like suburbs. We tame it, make sidewalks and neat borders with pine straw edges, and we make things like HOA rules because they make us feel safe. You know, there's nothing more dangerous than an HOA president who's power hungry, right? Who's on the prowl. That's a dangerous person. And while things don't happen, while he or she is doing their job, which is the whole point of being the HOA president in the first place. Yeah. We need to think about the wilderness, the things that we have survived. They're not just lions and tigers and bears. They're not just the creepy, crawly things that go bump in the night. But wildernesses like bankruptcy, depression, addiction, loneliness, we know something of those. We know the wilderness of disappointment. We have all been let down in these lives that we lead. We know the disappointment of the times that we failed, or even when we feel like we failed. See, the wildness of Lent, the wild of Lent, the wilderness of Lent, it's part of our story. I mean, think about it. Dad loses a job and can't find work. The marriage skids along. The doctor says, I'm sorry, you have to do more chemotherapy. The grandchildren say goodbye to a grandparent. The couple prays for the baby only to be disappointed again. The grades don't come through. You work so hard, you turn the test in on time, but the teacher didn't give you the grade you thought you were going to make. The long-promised arrival of the strange sibling doesn't happen because she got mad at the airport in the other city and just refused to get on the plane. The story after story about the wilderness that's all around us, about things that happen to us in the wild. And sometimes if we stay lost in there for too long, our faith can begin to erode away. My friend Marianne is a professional Christian writer, and she says there are three kinds of sermons which all preachers preach. They preach yes sermons, no sermons, and go sermons. Yes, no, and go. What am I talking about? As in, the sermon has just finished and the person next to you says, well, yes, that was a good sermon. The exegesis was good and the delivery was outstanding. That was a good sermon. And then there's no sermons, like, no, he tried real hard, but he missed the mark, so I hope he'll do better next week. And then there's go sermons, as in, get your handbag, darling, we're leaving. It's time to go. I kid about that. It's very rare. It has happened. People have walked out on my sermons, but it's been a while. What she means is, yes, Jesus, I'll do that. Yes, I will live as you say. You tell me like the kingdom of heaven is bigger and more grand than I can possibly imagine. I will do my best to imagine it. Like, show me who to be and I'll become that. Yes, Jesus, I'll go. And then there's the no sermon, as in, no, I'm not going to do that anymore. Preacher was preaching about the Ten Commandments, and right when he said, got to the one that says, you shall not lie, I realized that I'm caught in a big lie at work. And it's making me miserable, and it's adding stress to my life, and it's pushing people that I respect away. I've got to stop. So no, God, I am not going to do that anymore. And then finally, the go sermons. Jesus calls, and you get up, and you get moving. You just go do it. One of the most beautiful things in all of the world, not just in Luke's gospel, is the parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10. And it's about a man who was untouchable to most of Jesus's audience, helping out a traveler who's been beaten and robbed and abused. And Jesus says, that's what we should be doing in the world, being like the one that we think is untouchable and unclean, because he is the one that is doing right. And what happens at the end of the parable of the Good Samaritan, the last words that Jesus says are these to his audience: now you go and do likewise. You go and do it too. That's a go sermon. Even Jesus preaches those. 40 days of yes, no, and go. 40 days to respond to God's call of confession to sin. 40 days to offer our fear of death at the feet of God. 40 days to seek repentance and reconciliation with those that we have wronged. 40 days to go into a world plagued by too many isms. 40 days of yes, no, or go. 40 days of Lent. So yeah, it may not be our favorite, but it allows us to tell the truth about our regrets and failures. It allows us, as Jesus teaches us in the Gospel of John, to remember that the truth is what sets us free. Lent is a tool in what I might call the essential spiritual toolbox, a practice given to us by God that we might realign ourselves to grace and begin to experience God's restoration. And so, friends, as sin separates us from God, admitting our sin is the first step to closing that gap. In other words, sometimes to be found, we've got to want to be found. And as long as we are hiding from God behind our sin, behind our shame, behind our fear of death, we are likely to remain at least a little bit lost. And so Lent gives us a perfect time to begin the process of heading home. Our family is a musical theater family. I think it's because my wife and I loved to sing together when we were dating and we were young. And we watch, so some families are sports families, that they go to every sporting event, or they go to every concert families. We go to theater stuff. That's what we do. And there's one song that I think of whenever I hear our Lenten theme, Lent for the Lost, Longing to be Found. And it goes like this. Have you ever felt like nobody was there? Have you ever felt forgotten in the middle of nowhere? Have you ever felt like you could disappear, like you could fall and no one would hear? Wilderness, 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 lost, 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 lost. And then the chorus goes like this. Even when the dark comes crashing through, when you need a friend to carry you, and when you're broken on the ground, you will be found. Friends, God is waiting to find us, those of us who are longing to be found. And Lent offers us the perfect opportunity to be discovered. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, may we come to this table with open hearts and open minds and with open lives, that we would approach Lent this year as a time for learning and renewal. Amen. I go in peace, friends, to love and serve the Lord with gladness and singleness of heart. May you and all whom you love be blessed until we meet again. In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.